Merry Christmas. It's wonderful to be together on this day of remembrance and celebration. Hopefully you weren't up as early as I was, about 4:30. It wasn't my kids though, I can't blame them. It was my body clock this morning, so my kids were very circumspect. Well, as we approach this Christmas day, there are certain things that I think we take for granted in our modern world. One of those things is hot water to wash ourselves as we start or finish a day. Another is running toilets. Another is easy transport from home to church. Another is that the Fremantle Dockers will miss finals each and every year of their existence. For thousands of years, humanity only ever had one reliable source of light in this world. It was the sun. Over time, we learned how to control fire and make it portable with wax and oil and candles and lamps. But in 1879, something changed the world forever. A patent was filed for this creation, the invention of a carbon filament with cotton and linen thread and wood splints and paper coiled around it, launched commercial production of the electric light bulb. Not only did it provide a safer, cleaner, cheaper alternative to gas, it revolutionized industry. It increased productivity in the workplace, things like hospitals and schools and governments and business and the public space could control their hours. But perhaps most significantly, it prompted the widespread use of electricity, the power that runs our world today. At the time, inventor Thomas Edison said, "It has the property of resisting the heat of the current of electricity, while at the same time it becomes incandescent and gives out one of the most brilliant lights which the world has ever seen." Well, at Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of the most brilliant light the world has ever seen, who shines in even the darkest of hearts and changes lives forever. The question is, are we taking him for granted this Christmas? Matthew 4:16 says about the coming of Jesus that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The Greek word for great there is, in English, it's where we get our word mega from. It's something or someone of significance or superiority in size, in intensity, and importance. Jesus is the mega light who has come to drive out the darkness that resides within and outside. And I know that each one of us comes into Christmas a little bit differently. For some, it just feels like joy and peace and hope come easily. For others, you know, it's a bit of a bloody battle just to get through. But Jesus is the light that ushers in a new day when things within and outside grow dark. And in our passage today, there's an invitation to come alight in him, a light is a word together. It's almost a play on words. It means to be full of light, like the children's face was alight with wonder, or it means to settle on a particular place, like you alight from a train ride onto the platform. You're settling onto something. And this light of Jesus has come to settle and to fill and to change our lives. The question is this Christmas, have you received his light? And do you continue to walk in it today? As we consider that question, we're going to turn to our text, which comes from John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The light has come. There was a recent survey which revealed that Gen Z and millennials have a complicated relationship with their cars. 6 out of 10 will wait at least 8 warning lights before they get their car checked. 1 out of 4 will disregard it completely and just continue driving. And I can say this because that statistic is, one of them is me. That's an image from the dash of my car. Albeit very dusty and it's been there for a while. But we have this habit, whether it doesn't seem to matter whether it's cooling or electric or oil or tire pressure issues, that the light can shine and warn us, but we'll either ignore it completely or wait until the problem grows and forces our hand. The survey doesn't comment on the psychology behind why. I think sometimes we're just willing to take risks. Other times I think the reality is none of us really like confronting what's wrong. And that can be in our cars, but it can also be physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, spiritually. We don't like addressing wrong things. It induces anxiety or shame or just we don't like to problem solve. And John's announcement of Jesus coming as a light points to the brokenness of humanity and to the brokenness of the world. But he doesn't come and shine to shame or condemn or to induce anxiety within us. He comes to lead us to the solution, to the answer that will fix what's going wrong in our lives and in this world. The ponderance is, are we people who take note of that light and respond to it? Or do we just have a life that keeps on driving? Our passage this morning reveals that the light comes to confront and shine in darkness. We have to address the problem that exists in our world. Verses 1 to 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and then he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness." What John's doing here, unlike the other Gospels, he's not pointing to the practical details of Jesus' birth. He's not drawing on the prophetic words that were spoken long ago. There's no mangers or angels or inns or shepherds, but he's taking us back to the very beginning of the dawn of time of creation, when the world that we know, the universe, was birthed into existence. And he's drawing on that event to explain that Jesus Christ comes as a new creation experience. He's redefining human history. But it points us back to the start. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then it goes on to say, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Then it talks about the Spirit hovering. And then after light, there comes morning and evening, day and night. There comes land, obviously, and seas, and an order of creation, vegetation and animals, and ultimately human beings. And each time it says it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. But the writer of Genesis is wanting us to see this contrast very clearly, that until God steps into the space, existence is dark, and that darkness is defined as formless and empty. The word formless in Hebrew can also mean chaotic, confused, a nothingness. Sorry, there's a midgie entering my space. It can mean disordered. Emptiness means a void or a vacuum. In other words, when God isn't there, there's darkness, formlessness, and emptiness. But when God steps in, He is the agent of creation and life and beauty and order and meaning and goodness. He fills the space and He converts what is dark, formless, and empty and makes it good. When you take Him out and His direct influence over a person or a place, then disorder and emptiness and darkness return. And it's woven into the fabric of our universe because science defines darkness as the absence of light. When you take the light out of a place, darkness is what results. When you remove God from society, or when you remove Him out of your life, His presence and His word, or you don't know that He's there, you are living in darkness. And what characterizes the human race is an emptiness within that was made to be filled by God Himself. And what characterizes humanity is a formlessness, that we can't be the people we want to be or were created to be. We do things we don't want to do. We don't do the things we do want to do. Because God has been removed from the scene. Isaiah 62 shows this dichotomy. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. The darkness is in the world around us. That's a problem. But the darkness is also within us as people. And so it's no wonder when we look outside into the world, we just see random, chaotic suffering and people's searches for anything that will make them feel good and happy and comfortable and pleasing, because there's an insecurity apart from God. We see wars and abuse and injustice and fake news and weak and corrupt governments. There's no one seems to know what's right or wrong anymore. There's arguments over that constantly. We live in a mental health crisis, because when God is taken out of the picture, there's formless and empty and darkness. So there's two ways that people typically tend to deal with this darkness. The first is that they'll seek some kind of light wherever they possibly can. And we have people and organizations and governments that say things like, well, maybe if we solve the poverty issue, maybe if we fix the climate, maybe if we increase social welfare, maybe if we provide better health systems, everything will come into order and they'll be good and will reduce the chaos and randomness of this world. 2 weeks ago, the news had an article about this new religion that had been arising in our nation and across the world, and its increasing interest in pagan and nature-based faith like witchcraft. Social media activity, online occult sites, and courses that you can take are skyrocketing in popularity because, as this article goes on to say, in a world as stressful and turbulent as ours, one in which our search for meaning and control is becoming more and more urgent, it's understandable. You know, it's like this is a secular news agency pointing out a problem for people in the world, and that we're grasping for meaning and for control, so we'll even look for it in something like witchcraft. Why do we want meaning? Well, because there's a void within us. Why do we want control? Well, because we exist in a world that is insecure. We just want to feel safe and at ease, but we never know what's going to happen. And that pervades our inner world. Whether it's witchcraft or a nice house or a good job or tight abs or the next relationship or the best retirement plan we could have, all other sources of security and value are just artificial lights at best. Witchcraft will lead you down a dark and despairing existence. And Martin Luther King once said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Only true light can fill the void and disorder of our existence. The other group of people tend to embrace rather than resist the darkness. John 3 says it this way, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. In other words, we're quite content, thank you very much, just living the way we're living. And we don't want anything or anyone to come along and tell us that we should be doing anything differently. We don't want to change, even though our deeds are evil, even though our hearts are dark, even though we live in random chaos, because we want to choose our own adventure. Some people just willingly sit in that place. Others, it's a bit like, you know, when you wake up in the morning and in that morning light, you go into the bathroom and you look at yourself in the mirror for the first time, and in the light, you just, oh, it's a horrible picture looking back at you. It's probably just me that experiences that. Sometimes we'd just rather not know the truth about ourselves, the truth about our lives and the direction we're going and the world that exists around us. We'd just rather not know. There's a, this is a true story, there's a carpet cleaning business who offer a service where they'll clean up your pet urine. And the way they kind of show customers their need for this service, and there's a video you can watch where they unfold this for you, they darken a room and then they shine a powerful black light, and they put this light all around the room, and you can see stains on the floor and on the couches and on the drapes and on the lampshades. It's just everywhere. And the customer that they're is on the video is just absolutely horrified and begs them to turn it off and says, I'll never be comfortable in my own home ever again. You know, the reality is the stain is always there, but it's only seen in the right light. And the reason many resist Jesus is because he comes in such brilliance and majesty and perfection, and he demands something of us that we're just not sure we can give, and that is our whole life and our whole trust and willingness to allow him to clean us up. And we don't want to be beholden to anyone, and so we'd rather live in that darkness. Theologian Frederick Buechner writes it this way, if there's a terror about darkness because we cannot see, there's also a terror about light because we can see. There's a terror about light because much of what we see in the light about ourselves and our world we would rather not see, would rather not have be seen. You know, it's one thing to know the Lord, in one sense. It's another thing to have him know you. And we can keep an arm's distance from him for as long as we can, but Jesus has come to be a light that allows us to see what is real and true so that we will open ourselves up before him as our Savior and take away our chaos, take away our emptiness, fill the space that belongs to him so that our lives can be transformed. And the question this morning that some of us have to consider is, are there aspects in my life where I just constantly feel empty inside? I don't have any hope. I don't have any meaning. I don't have any perspective about what's going on in the world around me or in my own life. Is there something where you're just constantly pushing up against a brick wall? Is God in those spaces with you? Because he's the one that transforms reality. And that's what we see as our passage continues, as John draws on the creation story. He says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So it's this second historical event where God, for the second time, steps into the darkness of the world that does exist, And like at creation, the sun was the necessary center that the solar system revolves around, Jesus Christ now comes with his kingdom of light, and he is the sun that all of us in our spiritual lives revolve around. And he serves this in a number of different ways through this metaphor of light. First, we know that light, the sun, illuminates everything we can see. It reflects off objects, comes in through our eyes, and then our brains interpret those images. But if you were to turn out light, you wouldn't be able to see anything. You wouldn't know what's around you, where other people are, where yourself is situated in the world. And so there's a sense in which light is a source of truth because it tells us what exists. You know, there's a couple of ways we can learn the truth in life. One of those ways, let's say I'm riding my bike and ahead of me is a brick wall, but my eyes are closed. And so I'm riding along and I just crash into that wall because by that way, I'm going to learn something about the size and the position and the significance of that wall. But the other way is just to open my eyes, allow the light to bounce off it, and I can see where it is. I can learn all about it. I can know the truth of that wall and avoid it. And Jesus comes as a light to show us the walls of life and the walls within our own hearts that we need to avoid. He shows us the truth about God. He is God in flesh, the invisible made visible. He reveals what the Father's like, what the Father wants, what he comes to do for us. And he also shows us the truth about ourselves, both the good and the bad and the ugly. But he becomes this light that illuminates the truth so that we know how to walk through this life rightly. And sometimes if you do feel like you're just constantly pushing against brick walls or banging into things, life is always so difficult, nothing ever seems to work out, then a starting place is just to come back to the surrender of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, would you shine light? Would you reveal to me the truth about this situation or circumstance that I'm facing and where I should be going in this life? We also know about light that it sustains life and stimulates growth. You know, if we didn't have the sunlight, this earth would freeze and life would no longer exist. We eat plants that eat light. We eat animals that eat plants that eat light. Our bodies absorb vital nutrients directly from the sunlight. And so light is directly contributing to our life and our growth in this world. Colossians 1:12-14 says this about Jesus. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Because the thing is, if we're just existing in the darkness of this world and our own hearts, we can never truly experience life and life in abundance. We need to be transferred into a place where the love and will of God can be lived out in our lives. We need his presence in us. His presence is life. Eternal life is not just an object, it is a person. It is a relationship with the living one. And Jesus comes to be that light that allows us to move from bondage to sin and disorder and the emptiness of existence and to instead be in a space in our hearts where we can be formed and fulfilled as the people we were created to be by him. A light is also a source of goodness and joy in this world. You know, we can get a sense of that as we look in nature and we see a rainbow against a darkened sky, or we see a beautiful sunrise or sunset at dusk or dawn. There's just this beauty and joy as you witness the beauty that light can contribute. But we also are starting to understand that light affects us mentally and emotionally. You know, an example is in Perth in wintertime, I often hear people talk about having the winter blues. You know, there's just something about there being constantly clouds hanging over or rain continuing that it just, you get a bit depressed and despairing. There's a story, a true story about a town in Austria called Rattenburg. And this town was established in the 1300s to be a safe place away from where raiders in the land would usually go. And the reason it was safe is because it sits underneath a 3,000-foot mountain. And for the longest time, people were willing to live there because it kept them safe. The problem with this place is that this mountain blocks the sun essentially from November to February. And so as life has become easier and the threats have diminished, the young people that are growing up in this town just no longer want to be there. And over two decades, they lost more than 20% of their population because they just couldn't live in the dreariness of the winter sunlight in this town. 50% of the town's residents filled out a survey saying our biggest problem, our biggest disadvantage is light, because we were created to live in the light. What happens in the physical is a shadow of what happens in the spiritual. You and I have souls and spirits that were created to live in the light of the glory of God, to enjoy His beauty and wonder and let it bring us to a place of continual rejoicing. When we step into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, His truth, His life, and His joy begins to settle and to fill and to grow. And John says that darkness cannot overcome it. There's no sin or situation that Jesus can't come into and overcome for our sake. Do you need His light this morning? You need His light this Christmas. Sometimes if you've been a Christian a long time, you can forget what it's like not to live in His light. And you can start to take it for granted and forget what it's like to not have Jesus. I was reflecting on this during the week because I look back at my life before Him and it was just defined by an emptiness and a void within me and a disorder that drove me nuts. I didn't know or how to define it or how to put labels to it or understand it was happening in the time. But when I met Jesus, I know from that moment forward, even though life is not perfect and there's times where I struggle, that emptiness has never come back because He fills the space within my heart. He has come and stepped into my darkness, shone His light, and consumed me in a way that gives me joy each and every day of my life that was never there before He came. And He wants to do the same for you. And if you have known Him in your life, but that's grown cold within you, then this Christmas, let me urge you just to come back to Him this morning and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for having grown cold to your light. Become again a flame in me that I might burn for you. Because as our passage finishes in verse 12, it says, to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. How do we become a light in Him? We must believe. We must trust. If you walk into a darkened room, the very first thing you're likely to do is to flick on the light switch. And when you flick that switch, you just have this innate trust that as you do that action, the light will come on. Because everything that is needed for that light to appear is already there. You're simply just aligning your agreement to it being on. And each and every one of us will have the light of Christ if we align our will to His and say, Lord, I trust You with my whole life. And we give Him everything that we have and we say, let me turn on the light in You, Jesus. The famous author Helen Keller was profoundly deaf and blind from a young age. And there's a moment in her life where she looked back on the silence and the darkness that she lived in and she said this, I always knew that God was there. I just did not know his name. You know, there's lots of people in our world that have a sense that there must be more than this. There must be someone or something out there, the intelligence of the design of our creation, the way love works in the human heart. There must be someone or something more than this. And there is. And his name is Jesus Christ. Then she goes on to say, faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light. When we come to a place in our hearts where we're willing to lay down our darkness, our walls, our everything, and say, okay, Jesus, you can now have everything, it turns on his light. And that truth and that life and that beauty and joy begins to grow within us. So what does it mean to put your faith or trust in Jesus? Well, in John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The word following is in a tense that's present and continue. We must continue to follow Jesus. But we won't follow someone we don't trust. You know, if I was to go on a bushwalk with you, and we'd been walking for a long time and starting to grow tired and wanting to get back to the start, but we came across an intersection that divided into four different ways, and we had a choice to make. If the person I was with said, I know the way, follow me, I'm only going to do that if I trust that they know what they're talking about, that they have the ability to get me home. Do we trust that Jesus is the way to get home? Because if we do, we will follow what he says. We will answer to his word, his voice. We will do the things he asked us to do. His primary command across all the Gospels is to love. Are we living lives of love? It's an immense call. John Piper says, following Jesus is more than tagging along behind him. It means following him for who he is, being so taken with him that you join yourself to him. And in Matthew 5, Jesus says that when we join ourselves to him, we become the light of the world. We become sources of truth and light and life and beauty and joy ourselves in a world around us that is dark. And we have the opportunity to reveal Jesus, to reveal Father God to those around us. But the measure of whether we do or not depends on whether we're filled with his light. There's a story about a man who went on an overseas trip and he came back with a glow-in-the-dark matchbox as a souvenir for his wife. And as he gave it to her, they decided, well, let's have a look at how it works. And so they turned out the lights, but nothing happened. And they thought they'd been cheated when the wife noticed that there were some words in French on the side of the box. And so she went to Google Translate and she found out what the phrase said. And the words that came up on the screen said this: if you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. There are some of us who have known Jesus at one time, known the reality of God, but we've walked away. That the way we follow Jesus is not joining ourselves to him, but, you know, trailing miles behind. He's there somewhere doing his thing, but I'm over here doing mine. And if we want to be a source of life and light and beauty and joy and everything that the Lord Jesus is for this world around us, for our family, our friends, our co-workers, and we need to sit right tightly behind him. This is a dark and dangerous world. It's a world where chaos reigns. We only have to turn on the news to discover that. It's a world of disorder where nothing seems to stick or stay for very long. So I just want to close with this. There's an author will be familiar to most of you named J.R. R. Tolkien. He wrote The Lord of the Rings, and you know, part of the story of his life was that he fought in World War I, and he lost many of his friends. Actually, he lost all his friends except one. He lived through World War II and the Great Depression. He knew darkness. And he wrote Lord of the Rings towards the end of all this. And there's a particular scene in Lord of the Rings where all the hope is gone, where they're wondering if they'll ever survive or make it or fulfill their mission. Everything feels lost. And Samwise turns to his friend, and I'll just read to you what it says, or what he says to Frodo. "It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were, and sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. There is some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. The good in this world is the light of Christ. And if you know that light, if you're joined to Jesus this morning, then take courage. However bleak things feel and seem to you, however your circumstances might seem like everything around you is just falling apart, there is a light within you that will get you through. The darkness in this life cannot overcome his light, and you will get home. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not joined to him, then take note. Confront your need. See the darkness within and without, and put your hope in him, because he's the light of this world. Let's just pray and bow our heads. Lord, for those who are struggling this morning, for those whom Christmas is not a celebration, for those who are yet to know you, we just pray you would shine your light, that you would reveal the truth, that you would do what only you can and transform everything within. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to be willing to give you our everything. Help us to come to you knowing that when we do, when we put our trust in you, the light comes on. The truth becomes apparent. The life we desire becomes ours. The joy that we so desperately seek can fill even the darkest emptiness within. Lord, what your word says, you give sight to the blind. Would you help each one of us see in greater measure this morning, in whatever way you know we need, and however you know we need it, Lord, so shine. Let there be light, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.